All right, we're going to get this going. We're already 2 minutes late. Joe, the county administrator, I don't need anyone. The county administrator has promised that he will do the primer for new legislators when new legislators show up, and he will run through some things that he's promised to do. He now has PowerPoint on it. Brian is here, but we'll wait to see who else shows up, and we'll do it between one of the other groups, if that's okay.
Even if afterwards.
Okay.
If you want to do it, we'll stick around and do it then.
This meeting potentially doesn't have to go to 7. It looks like it.
Later.
It could go earlier than that. And
no, Carol.
Is there anything anyone wants to? Joe, do you have anything, or Kevin, David, anything right here at the beginning that we need to do? Okay. So first up is assessment.
Rather sit here, I can relax a little bit. Thanks for having me here for our 2011 budget presentation. I don't know if this is a good sign or a bad sign that people didn't really want to hear me, or the few of you that came wanted to hear me.
I promise that other people will show up, but we like to start on time.
Well, I'm sure they're watching on TV. So.
I wonder if people thought we're in the habit of it's starting at 5.
All the meetings have been at 4 except for one.
Then there isn't much of a habit. Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind, could you hold that microphone for him so he can all hear?
No.
Jay's an inside joke. From last night.
All right, well, here's our 2010 versus our 2011 budget. The big difference here is that we're asking for about $80,000 more in one-time money, and that's pretty much strictly due to what the increase in fringe costs were from 2010 to 2011. We're asking for about $80,000 more, or total of $95,000 more, and $75,000 of that is increase in fringe costs. Even with changes in personnel that we'll get to, that had to be included within our target budget. See, our over target requests are the $83,843. That is what we would need to continue our office in the current structure with the current services that we have right now. Just our one over target request, rather than lump multiple line items into over target requests. It's a one over target for the full amount. In order to meet the 2011 target, I've met with Joe many times when this was first being talked about in April. You know, we realized that there was no way that we could sustain a 7% cut or a 10% cut that the number was being floated out there under our current structure. We're very heavily personnel weighted. Over 95% of our budget is salary and fringes. So any reduction made to our office had to be dealt with in a reduction in staff. Due to the work we're doing and the more reliance on the real property tax. If we reduce staff, we have to find a different way to do things. And I don't want to say a better way to do things, but we have to find a different way to do it. And in order to accomplish that, one thing I'm recommending is reducing our valuation staff by 2. Right now we have 5 real property appraisers. We would promote 3 of them to valuation specialists, and they would take a more macro look at individual property assessments, more of a CAMA technique. There wouldn't be individual parcel reviews per se, but more of a trending factor or a multiple regression model applied to a certain market segment rather than us going out and reviewing each parcel individually on the first review. You know, and then we would, sorry.
Do you mind? Do you mean no individual reviews or fewer?
When we first do our work for the year, we determine that a certain market area needs to be revalued because its market values are decreasing or increasing. Then we would send an appraiser out to review each house individually from the road. Under this new structure, we would take a look at that market, change the value systematically, either through a regression model, some sort of sales comparison, model generation, or a statistical adjustment called trending, to those values in order to generate new values. And then if a property owner came in for an informal review or asked us to review it, then we would go out and review that parcel individually.
Thank you.
But it's a more efficient way to do real property assessment, however, not necessarily more accurate. But this is a, as you head out west, they're more progressive in how they do real property assessment. It's not the individual fee appraisal. It's more of a CAMA techniques, whether they have more cookie-cutter neighborhoods out there, so where that model can be applied very easily than out here in the east. But you know, there's definitely a push in the assessment field towards more CAMA techniques. And if you know, if you've been to any real property site online, Zillow, for instance, is one I can think of. They're using the automated valuation models to try to predict a value for your house. Another thing that we would do under this office reorganization is to resume the tax map maintenance within our office. One of the appraisers that would be promoted to a valuation specialist would take on that tax map work. That would also train them in the GIS field so that they can then take that data that can be generated from that into that valuation model. We would also hire a data collector. With the promotions to valuation specialists, it's not cost effective to have our valuation specialists go out and collect the deck or a new garage that someone constructs. That's more efficiently done with a lesser level position, such as a data collector. And we would also have to reduce one office staff position to half time. With increased reliance on databases, the responsibilities of that position have changed and is more accurately represented by a half-time position. Now, I am recommending this office reorganization to stay under that target figure. However, you know, you've heard me here, you've heard Valeria, Steve many times before. We are the pinnacle of real property assessment in New York State. I hate to say just how good we are or how well we're looked at from other parts of the state. You know, we're almost kind of ridiculed from other assessing units. They're always like, oh, Tompkins County, you know, you guys can do no wrong. Well, you know, we've been doing countywide assessing since 1970, you know, 41 years now. So we've ironed out the wrinkles, and, you know, it's taken us time to become what we are, but we do a great job at it. You know, and I feel the best way for us to continue would be to continue our office structure, which is why I put that over target request in there. You know, we are going to reduce our staff by 2.5 people. We are going to hire a data collector, but we were at a high of 19.75 staff back in 2000. This would bring us down to 12.5 staff. But if there is a department that knows how the public feels about the real property tax, we are, which is why we had to come up with a new way to do things, a new look at how we provide our services so that they can come in under the budget constraints that we have and still be able to provide a good service to the taxpayers of Tompkins County and also to the taxing jurisdictions, and to be able to provide fair and equitable assessments. As property taxes go up, we want to make sure people are paying their fair share, not any more, not any less. We do have a couple, or one big pending issue. The state of New York, in their infinite wisdom, has decided to abandon the annual and triannual aid programs for 2011 and come up with this new cyclical aid program. You would get $5 a year in a reappraisal and $2 in the interim years. However, they haven't defined reappraisal yet, and we're already 60% through our valuation year. You know, normally we have the majority of our work done. We don't know what they're going to require us to do yet for 2011 to get that $5 per parcel aid. It is included in our budget. I have had talks with the regional office. They realize what we do is how you should do it. But there's a lot of assessing units out there that aren't doing anything but are collecting that $5 per parcel. So as they're trying to write these regulations, they're talking to us and seeing what we do so that we can qualify. But they do have requirements. You have to produce a field document for each house each year. Under the current database structure, we would have to print 23,000 sheets of paper each year. You know, I don't want to do that. There's better ways to do things. You know, you have to value the property from the road each year. With the wealth of information we have at our fingertips, through the county clerks, through our GIS, through the different Google Earth websites, you know, you can do a better job at the desk for more than half of the properties that are out there. So this going back to a single parcel review, in my opinion, is a major step backwards. You know, to go out in the car, you just don't have all the information that you have here at your desk. So I don't know where this is going. There is some flexibility built into my under-target budget. I have project assistance in there. So if we do have to go out to the field, we can have our project assistance driving our valuation specialists. If we can't get that aid, then we won't hire the project assistants. There's some money in there for technology upgrades. Well, if we're going to be out in the field, then we would need technology to get to our server when we're out in the field. More up-to-date laptops and a push on the back end from our IT standpoint to be able to access our files from the field. If we don't have to be out in the field, then we won't be spending that money. But I, you know, in summary, I think the best way for us to do is to continue what we have. We have the Cadillac of assessment departments within New York State, and I think that is something that should continue.
Okay. Jay, you ready? I had a couple people raise their hand. Are you ready for some questions?
Cool.
All right. Frank, you were the first person that I saw.
Jay, the cut in staff. when we go out and do the grievance days, which we're required to do, when we do that, often we ask that a staff member go out and review a piece of property again, and sometimes it entails a site visit. How will that be affected by cutting back the staff that you're talking about?
Well, hopefully at that point in time, we will still be able to do parcel reviews, the individual parcel reviews. But normally we've already have driven by that house once, or we may have already been out there. So that need may not be there. There would be more of a reliance on that. And, you know, quite honestly, we would have to rely on the public more to, if when we do produce a new value, that if they feel it is wrong, they would have to come in. So our reviews will increase the number of them. And hopefully we still have the staff to be able to manage those reviews and be able to give them the due diligence that they need.
Martha and then Carol.
What about What about evaluation of commercial properties and apartment buildings? Will anything change, or how will you handle those?
No, our senior evaluation specialist, in the past, he did have a town responsibility as well. However, he has the full responsibility to do all of the commercial property, along with myself, to handle the more major commercial properties that are out there.
Okay, so commercial, you mean including land, apartment buildings where there's multiple
correct
tenants?
Yeah, and any income-producing type of property, apartments, office, retail, industrial.
So will those be done on this trending basis, or will you be making the individual reviews?
Over the last year, we've consolidated all of our income and expense data from our various commercial spreadsheets and put that into an Access database. From there, as income trends upwards in terms of rent, as expenses trend upwards, we can place those new variables within that formula and be able to calculate a new value and see how that compares. You know, and as cap rates change, tax rates change, you know, we can very simply mass change those and have the program calculate a new value.
Thank you.
Carol.
Yeah, I'm not quite understanding the numbers of staff and what kicks in the need to go to this new method that won't be as accurate. One of the things we've prided ourselves on is how accurate it is. I certainly see a trend. If you look at the 2008, 9, 10, 11, your total staff, as we got them in our books, just went from 15 to 14 to 13 to 12. So I'm both not. So I have two questions. One is just about what are the numbers? If you reduce by two, how do we get from 13 to 12, and how does that jive with the 12 and a half you referred to, and then I have a follow-up in terms of what it means.
Well, I misspoke on the 12 and a half. It's actually 11 and a half. So we have 13. We would actually be laying off two individuals. So that would get us to 11. There's another half-time position, a full-time position that would go to half-time. That's 10 and a half. But then we would be hiring a data collector back to more efficiently account for our demands of our work. So we would go down to 11 and a half.
Joe?
I think I'm responding to Carol's point.
Yeah.
Jay, there may be a change that we need to make on the roster in your budget. You're showing two real property systems specialists. I think that would go to 1.5. Is that correct?
I have 1.5 on my sheet.
Okay,
yeah, so the real property system specialist should be 1.5 for 2011.
So that's the difference in the roster that's posted at the front of his budget.
Okay, so then I would just ask that you check whether the right which number of staff positions are actually in the dollar numbers.
I know
then,
the dollar numbers.
Does that change it?
I can assure you the dollar numbers are
okay.
Right on. There's an error, though, in the roster. Yeah.
Okay. And then are you telling us that if we don't do the over-target request, we'll have to go to this new method, or we're going to go to this new method regardless?
If the over-target request is not funded to restore our level of staffing and our operations to what they are for this year, then we will go to this new structure. This new structure also takes a look at what's going to happen in 2012 and 2013. You know, in all of the discussions I've heard, you know, the county budget is not going to get any better in 2012, 2013. The state budget isn't going to get any better 2012, 2013. So this allows us some flexibility down the line.
Okay, and so now this brings us, now that I understand the numbers that you're telling us, the gist of my question has to do with if the method we were using was more accurate, actually visiting properties, and we're going to reduce by some percentage amount, I can understand going to a less frequent system of actually visiting properties. But if we're going to go to only a computer model, then we should be able to reduce staff even further. I don't quite get the relationship between never visiting the properties on a rotating, or neighborhoods on a rotating basis, versus the number of staff we're saving.
A statistical model can, accurately predict the middle properties, but we're still going to go out and review some of those properties. Probably the bottom 15% and the top 15%. We'll be able to see that this market area is moving at 10%. As we create that multiple regression model and apply the new values that are predicted by that model, some property values are going to go down. Some are going to go up 75%. And we're going to have to look at why are those properties not moving like the rest of that market segment. And those are the properties that still have to have that review out in the field. We're not going to put out numbers we're not confident in. So we're not going to go to no properties being reviewed in the field. There is still going to be some of those outliers reviewed. And with three people being responsible for the 34,000 parcels, as Frank said, by the time it gets to that individual review time, starting in January each year is when we do those individual reviews, those people are going to be swamped doing those reviews. So we can't go any lower than 11.5.
I just know it's not the ones who come to who look at their assessment and say, "Wow, I got off easy," who call us up and ask for a review. It's always the ones on the other
Peter.
End. Thanks.
Hi, Jay. I got in late, and so I'm sorry if my question is repetitive, but listening to the discussion, I think I've understood it. So you've got a lower cost way of doing the assessment, and the drawback is that it's not as accurate, is what I've heard. And then the question that comes into my mind is, can you quantify that? How inaccurate would it be if you, and I know there's no hard and fast answer to this question, but if I took, say, a $200,000 home, how wrong do you think you could be? Mm-hmm. Is that a fair question?
Yeah, and there is a way to kind of quantify that. Each year, we always review how our assessed values are, and we look at the average ratio from assessment to selling price, and then we also look at the coefficient of dispersion, how far on average we're off, and
right.
price-related differential to see if we're favoring one market segment, the lower-priced properties or the higher-priced properties. Our CODs right now and how far on average we're off are somewhere in the 5 to 7% range. According to the International Association of Assessing Officers, to have an acceptable assessment role, we could be up to 15% on our residential properties. So we have some way to go and still be acceptable?
Okay, well, I mean, that quantifies it for me, and the question that I have to ask myself is, could I live with a 5 to 7% average error, something like that? But, of course, some of these errors could get picked up by people who are complaining about them, but if your assessment is low, you're not apt to hear any complaints about it. So I can see that happening, too. And when you would go year to year, would you expect those things to average out? Or, for instance, suppose one is low this year, say 5% low, and then when you come to the next time when it's done automatically by the computer, is it apt to add another 5% in the same direction on that, or so would you expect that the randomness to neutralize those changes? That is, are these errors systematic, which would accumulate after time so that in the end you might find yourself 20% away?
If I could go back to one of your first points, the 5 to 7% on average that we're off right now is very, very good. There's just too much variation within the real estate market from one buyer to one seller to be at 100% on every property every time.
Right.
You're just not going to get to that.
Right.
5%, you know, you're absolutely amazing, and that's why we have the reputation that Tompkins County has. As to whether the error is going to keep multiplying or not, that depends on how good your regression model is and the data that goes into it. The better data you have, the better regression model you can create, and does that subject property act like the rest of the properties? At some point, it's probably not going to act like the rest of them, and then it becomes one of those outliers that we then review in the field.
Okay, what jumps into my head is I don't really understand what you mean by regression here. I know what the word means, but I think I'll just ask you that in private to understand that statement a little
bit. Thank you, Peter. Frank?
Thanks, Jim. Jay, I have a couple for you. The OTR one time at 83.8, I want to make sure I heard you right. Looking at the small box on that first slide that you had up, 74,000 and change of that could be the fringe benefits?
Correct. That is from the change from 40% to 51%. Now, over 95% of our budget is personnel related.
Okay. I guess the other question I have is, and I don't mean to pick on Joe, but in the initial letter that you wrote to us in the front of the book, wouldn't you, because this particular department sets the stage for all the towns, the school districts, the city, and it's a basis for, even though the assessment office is careful to avoid saying we don't raise money, it's the rate you have to talk to your legislators about the rate. The fact that they set the assessments on which we can then play with the rate a little bit, and that translates into the other income sources for other municipalities. Wouldn't you consider this a core service?
Assessment is a core service. The question is whether was really how we looked at the OTR. I think Jay has, in working with us, has responded to a challenge in the right way. We asked departments to look at the use of current technologies, methods, approaches, and see if we can maintain the quality of what we do at a lower cost, and that's what we're trying to do here. I'm reasonably confident that we can maintain high standards of assessment with these mass appraisal techniques. Wouldn't have withheld support for this if I didn't believe that. I think what I'd want to get on the record, though, is I believe this is low as they can go, that when it comes time for the 2012 budget to be on your desks, and it'll happen before we want it to, I don't know how this department could sustain additional cuts beyond this. I think they're as low as they can go. So again, it is a core function. We do it extremely well. I'm confident that we can maintain very high standards with this new organizational approach, but I wouldn't want to see more cuts in 2012.
But so that one more quick one, Jim, just a clarification. You think that they're okay with the OTR not being funded then?
Yes.
Dooley, you want to?
Yeah, if I can just add.
You're going to answer differently?
No. Well, I just want to add something to Joe. I wholeheartedly agree. We can get by, and we are as low as we can go under the flat real estate market we're in. If the market starts changing and starts increasing again, I'll be coming back here next year or in the middle of the year saying we need more people to help deal with these reviews. So this budget assumes a flat real estate market. If it starts moving and we have more work, I'll be back asking for more people, and we need more people to do that with reviews.
Dooley, and then Mike.
Thank you for anticipating one of my concerns. I don't share Joe's optimism about this at all. But I'm not supposed to make comments. I'm going to ask questions about the line item budget, which has standard lines. What are the inter-fund revenues you get?
We maintain the solid waste annual fee.
Right. Now I remember. Thank you. Yes. And the interdepartmental charge?
That is money that we pay the ITS department for help in the tax map maintenance.
And you're proposing decreasing it?
Correct. We're taking the day-to-day tax map changes from Greg's department. However, there's still a lot of back-end work that needs to be done. We're not there yet to be able to maintain that. And it's too essential of a piece of our GIS countywide database. And, you know, so many people use that outside of the county that we don't want to jeopardize the tax parcel file.
Do you anticipate taking over more of it in the next year?
That really all depends on how the person does who's starting taking over that tax map work. Prior to 2002, we had that function in our office. Our GIS analyst would handle most of that work. However, due to budget cuts, that was one of the first positions that we got rid of from our 19.75. But this is an attempt to try to bring that back into our office, and he may be able to maintain all of that, or he may just be able to deal with the normal tax map work. And, you know, and our system works great now with Greg's.
Yes.
Or Greg's department.
And with respect to the position titles, what is the difference? Could you explain to me the difference in expertise needed or credentials between an appraiser and a valuation specialist?
The real property appraiser takes more of a single parcel look at their properties for the towns that they're assigned. They've always worked under the direction of a valuation specialist or the assistant director. They were given their assignment to say, here's the market area you need to review, and here's about where the trend is moving. They didn't take a look at that statistical analysis to determine what needed to be reviewed in their area. And they didn't create their own valuation documents, their sales sheets, or that regression model. Okay. But these valuation specialists would then be responsible for that responsibility in their areas for their townships. Okay.
That explains why valuation specialists get paid significantly more. And if you're, so this restructuring amounts to raises for some people, I think. Raises, substantial raises, which feels a little out of whack with what we're doing countywide. That's just a comment, it's not a question. I'm just making sure I read it right. Okay. Do you have any idea when you'll have more information from the state about their state aid program? Before we vote on the budget, maybe?
I would hope so, because by then our valuation year is pretty much done. You know, by December we're collecting new construction to then create a preliminary roll in February. Allegedly the regulations are in draft form and they're going to the Director of Tax and Finance now. The Office of Real Property Services was merged with Tax and Finance to create the rules and regulations for this new aid program. So couple in the state in general with the merger of ORPS and Tax and Finance, you know, I don't have a really good feeling.
When was that merger?
That was one of the early results of the budget, of the state budget.
This year?
Correct. June, July, give or take.
Okay. That explains a lot. It's hard to merge departments. I understood Mr. Stein to say 5 to 7% sounded like the question, could we live with that? But what I understood you to say was that's where we are now with this new system. We can go to 15% errors band, and it's acceptable. To me, that said, we're likely to go to a bigger error. And I guess do I understand that correctly, that is likely to happen?
It is very likely to happen. Yeah. You know, I feel the appraisers we have in our office, when they're reviewing a property, can do a hell of a lot better job than any person predicting a value with a statistical model.
Okay. I find your argument for the OTR amazingly convincing. Thank you.
Mike.
That's another comment.
Jay, with the state funding crisis here, I'm trying to think what might happen in the future and what's driving this change. I suspect because most of the state is still on local municipal assessment, this concept of $5 a parcel and having printed pages for many municipalities would be a great leap forward. And it's hurting us because we're already way out in front of them, which unfortunately is not always the best place to be when it comes time for the state to divvy up the money. So I'm wondering if we should be thinking about lobbying through NYSAC and other things to have some kind of a two-tier payment for those municipalities or those counties that have centralized assessment or close to it, and as opposed to the other municipalities that do everything from probably computers to slates and chalk. So I just wondered if you're closer to this than I, is this something that you're seeing happen, and should we be trying to tell the state that we should be doing something different for us?
I've been pretty vocal with the state about how I feel about their new cyclical aid program. But it is an attempt to try to get those places that haven't done a revaluation to do something. And it is at a detriment to our office.
That's the way I read it. So.
And, you know, I look at it, you know, the $5 per year to do the annual reassessment program was hard. You know, it was draining on the staff. But this is in a way in order to still provide some funding. And in our case, $5, $2, $2 doesn't really work in how our budget works. You know, our staffing, we can't build up and go down and build up and go down. But it, you know, it provides some money to those local assessing jurisdictions in those interim years of when they go from one reappraisal to the other. I don't think we're going to find a lot of friendly ears across the state on this program, other than trying to get the regs written to where we can qualify for a reappraisal each year, because what we do right now is the right way to do it.
Martha.
Thank you. So if I understand correctly, the default, if this goes through, the default strategy is to reassess based on computer modeling every year, with a certain subset, a smaller subset of properties where you would go out and review, smaller than usual. And then if somebody grieves, files a grievance, then you might go out and review that individual property. Do you imagine that there might be on a certain, maybe a certain number of years you would get through re-looking at every property eventually, or in other words, to sort of reset to make sure by looking on the ground, to make sure you've got everything, you know, consistent with reality that's in the computer.
That's one real key about the work we do is each year we drive the roads within the county. Our appraisers are typically been in their towns for a while. They know what's going on. We have great relationships with the building departments. So if something physical changes on a property, we try to do a good job of capturing that. You know, with the aerial technology that's out there now, you know, we can see what's beyond the hedgerow out in the field a lot better than what we could in the past. I'm trying to look at a piece of software called ChangeFinder that'll compare two aerial images and to see if there is a change in a building structure. There's a company out there that's touting it as a revenue generator for the county. I would look at it as a revenue sharer for the counties as we create a larger tax base. As Frank said, we don't generate income. We just divvy up what the levies are. So that's, you know, there's other ways to do things to try to create a more accurate role rather than looking at each parcel individually. Carol. But there's still no substitute for looking at each parcel individually each year.
Excuse me. Carol.
I just want to make sure I understood the answer to the question of whether this OTR would preserve our ability to look systematically at the neighborhoods and the parcels or not.
If you funded this OTR, there would be no change within our office structure and no change within our services.
Peter.
Well, let's see. Last time I spoke, I misunderstood what you were saying based on what I heard Dooley say. So my current understanding is that now you think there's something like a 5% error inherent in the system, and if we go to the computer model, then it may be 15%, maybe more, who knows. But, of course, we'll know that when we do it. That is, you could think of this as an experiment, and after 1 year you find out, who knows, maybe it's 25% is the error. Then you decide, no, this is not the right way to go, and one goes back to something else. That's comment number one. And comment number two is that the comparison between the computer model and the experts that go out is not the right comparison. The computer model says one thing and the expert says something else, who knows who's right? The right thing is the comparison to the selling price, that there are a number of houses that get sold, and one can look at the selling price compared to the assessment, whether it's generated by a computer or by a human being. I mean, that's the real error. And so, I mean, that it seems to me, is the thing that one wants to keep in mind always, and that would be the check of whether a lower cost assessing process generates an acceptably larger error than, I mean, is it worth the money to hire people to do that, to reduce an error? Or maybe you'll find out that doesn't reduce the error, it doesn't increase the error at all to go that way. So, if that was meandering, I'm sorry, but where I come down is, it's the right thing to do. It's the right, and we could take a look at it and see if it works. And if it works, then that's fine, and we've saved the people of the county money. If it doesn't work, then we can make a decision to go back and do something else.
Do you have a question in there, Peter?
Right?
Do you have a question?
That's the question.
Right? Oh,
no. Right?
Okay. Yeah,
I just want to make sure.
I vote on meandering.
I just want to know if I'm understanding it right, because I didn't understand it the first time I spoke.
Yeah, and that's what we do look at when I talk about the error, the assessment to sale price.
Oh, okay, fine. All right.
Last question. Go ahead. Make up your own joke about those. Go ahead.
Jay, anticipating that sometime during 2011, the state legislature will permit the mortgage recording tax that Joe's been championing for a while. Do you anticipate any effect on your department if that tax goes through? Do you think there'll be an increase in work for your department just because more parcels might qualify? Or perhaps there's no effect coming out of your department?
If I don't think there is any effect on that. I mean, if...
It's just a fee going in through the clerk's office, right?
Correct.
Okay. Dooley?
Jay, I wondered if you and Joe considered waiting a year to implement this instead. This change, propose it for a year from now. Right. You didn't discuss it.
Well, no. I mean, we discussed here is what we need to continue our structure. If we can't continue our structure, what is the best way to provide the best service to the taxpayers of Tompkins County? And, you know, we can't just, you know, nickel and diming our department. We need to change physically and structurally how we do things.
But you also said in your presentation today, which I hadn't seen in the book, that this restructuring would only work if the market stays flat. So that's why I was asking whether you had discussed with Joe maybe waiting a year to propose this change, because the market, when it's no longer flat, we will hope it changes, may make you feel that it's not a good idea to even try. And Peter just said maybe you could try it for a year and see how it goes. So I just wondered if you would proactively mention delaying it, the trial. But you haven't. Thank you.
Brian.
I was just going to speak to that a little bit. I think this is the perfect time to try that with the with everything. I don't want to say stagnant, but certainly flat. And if it doesn't work, we can go from there. But you know, I applaud you for trying to reorganize and so on in this difficult time. And I think we should probably try it and see how it goes. And you know, of course, you're gonna ask for your OTR, but yeah, you don't seem you seem as though this is workable. So, and if it's not, you know, you can come back and we'll deal with it.
It is workable, but you know, I have a strong feeling that the best way to do this is under the current system that we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I didn't have to ask for an over target request, all of that money would be in my target request, and we would have that continuation of the office structure, because that's the best way to do things. But
I did. I heard that loud and clear,
but I understand it. But we are working under a budget and the fiscal constraints that were put upon me and my department. So we had to meet that target figure, yep. And this was the only way or the best way to meet that target figure. Yep.
Go ahead.
The other concern that I would think we should take into consideration when looking at these two choices would be that although it's easy to sit here and say we could try it, and if it doesn't work we could, you know, go back to the system we've got, we're talking about laying off how many people?
Two. We would lay off two and a half people. Hire one.
And I'm assuming that these are people with some degree of professional training and experience that then would have gone on to something else, not just sat there and waited to see whether our experiment had worked and whether or not they were asked to come back. So I don't know how easy it is to find people that would be able to step back into these kinds of positions if we decided, in fact, that the other way didn't work and we wanted to go back to this. Is that at all a concern?
It is very hard to find a real property appraiser who wants to leave the private sector to come work for the public sector. You know, there's a lot of hurdles they have to give up. One, you know, are they on a list already with civil service? Do they want to give up their private practice to go through the probationary period? And are they really trained in mass appraisal techniques rather than fee appraisal techniques? It doesn't always go from, it's not transferable from one to the other. As you're looking at valuing 200 parcels a day, That's a lot different than valuing the three or four that you may get to as a fee appraisal.
Right.
So it's...
Carol, and then Martha. And can we stop at the end of this, please?
Yeah.
We have been doing a lot of what-ifs.
Right. That's why I held up the bags and asked if it was our chair who had distributed them. I'm uncomfortable making a decision about this with the amount of information that we were supposed to have in our 15 minutes that was allotted to this for the budget discussion. And I'm just wondering if it makes sense to have a more extensive discussion and have you present, if the committee chair would want to entertain more information about what's happened in other places where this method is used versus ours, and just more extensive information than we could. So my question is, would you want to?
I beg to differ. This has been fairly extensive. It's been 50 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
So far. So.
I'm sorry, are you asking me, Carol?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm asking the chair and Jay whether that would be appropriate. So I'm supposed to direct my questions to
Jay. Be glad to have more discussion of it at GO to supplement this, if that would be something you'd like.
Before we have to make a decision.
Martha?
Just a quick summary. You know, if we could cut out $83,000 out of a department's budget and not see any change in what they do, then we'd probably be wasting money right now. So, I think it's the question is not will things stay as they are, but can we live with this change? And I applaud you for coming up with a creative way of looking at your work and getting it done. And I think this is exactly what we need to be doing.
Thank you. I think we're finished. Question. Okay. Thank you, Jay.
Good afternoon. I'm Anita Fitzpatrick, Commissioner of Personnel, Tompkins County. This is Jackie Thomas, the Administrative Coordinator, Tompkins County Personnel. We have a hopefully brief presentation, bless you, about the personnel budget this year. And did everybody get the handout? Do you have this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. 2010, our target budget was $629,919, and we were also granted one-time money of $45,534. And if you see at the bottom of the page, it explains the one-time $45,534 was for $22,000 to initiate the smart work training that's being conducted in personnel in terms of both payroll and automating the databases and our other systems for application processing and delivering services on both the civil service and the benefit side eventually. We also received $23,534 as the remainder of the supervising for success training that had been initiated in a previous budget year. It's been a very successful program with, I believe, over 45 participants. Is that true? So the total for 2010 was $675,453. We have seven full-time equivalent positions. The proposed 2011 budget has a target of $627,928 with no one-time funding. And so the difference is the 47,525 between the 2 years. On the next page or slide, depending, in 2009, 90% of the personnel department's budget was personnel cost. In 2010, that percentage rises to 93%. However, it's not in salary. You'll note that in 2009, the total salary for the department was at 405, and it was reduced in 2010 to 384,947. But fringe costs between the 2 years increased by $33,712. The total over target request to restore or increase the target was $4,904, and it's been recommended by the county administrator as target, which then shows on the last slide the restoration if the target were granted as recommended of an increase of $4,904. And that's what we wanted to explain today.
Martha Dooley.
You could use a few more minutes. That's as succinct as it gets, Anita. How do you reduce the salary cost? How did you reduce the salary cost?
It's the Commissioner of Personnel salary is reduced based on an agreement made with the county administrator and the legislature in 2010. And the reduction is approximately $30,000.
Okay, so then that soaks up the fringe increase, basically. Is that right?
Most of it.
Okay. So everybody else's hours stay the same?
Everything else remains the same. Just to have the maintenance of effort for what the positions in the department do, it would not have really been very feasible to reduce existing staffing or hours, especially at a time with the changes in benefits and the health insurance consortium and other things that are affecting Brooke's and Jackie's work as benefits management, because we also have our health insurance with TC3 in the library. And we're also going into a new payroll system, so no one's being reduced.
Thank you.
Dooley, and then Mike.
The training that was completed, was that for supervisors?
The Supervising for Success series, yes, that I referenced, there were two classes, and there was a level one and a level two that I believe consisted of six or more courses, and that was for supervisors.
Did everyone who should take it or would benefit from taking it get to take it?
No.
So that's something that we would like to continue if we could.
That's correct.
I was afraid that's what that was.
I think the classes were between 20 and 25 supervisors, so without having it in front of me, I would say that 45 successfully completed it, but we could certainly do another series.
I noticed, to my surprise, that you don't do legal advertising. I just assumed personnel always had to do that. The line item in the budget that I looked at has been zero for a while, so it made me curious. Is it someplace else? Am I looking in the wrong place?
One moment, please. Just answer.
It's 54402.
The only legal advertising that personnel actually does is for public hearings to do with civil service. And they're very few.
Yeah, they're
less than $70.
And I believe it's only like $70 when we do it.
So you just find the money somewhere else.
Yes, we don't have a line for the legal advertising.
Mm-hmm. The department's in charge when they advertise in a paper.
That's it. Thank you. Okay.
If it were recruitment, then that's not paid by personnel anymore. The departments are charged back the full cost of recruitment.
That's what I didn't have in my head, but that sounds familiar now that you say it. Thanks. And the last question is about rent. Where do you rent?
DeWitt Middle School for examinations, civil service tests. and we are working on a plan to perhaps move more of the civil service examination process into county buildings. That'll transition in 2011, so we won't have that cost. And the health department's been very gracious, the new health department, in accommodating a request that they may be able to help us with Saturday space for exams in a centrally located place that has good parking and everything, free of charge.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Mike and then Carol.
If we don't give you the $4,900, what do you do?
I don't know, Mike. But she's going to tell me. It's for maintenance of effort. It has to do with things like postage and books and local mileage and travel and training for the staff. It's a small amount, and certainly if we didn't have the $4,900, there's very little in this budget, which is why initially I said our budget is 93% personnel-related expenses. There's very little more that can be cut. So if we don't have the $4,900, we do the best we can.
Thank you.
Carol.
Are you proposing to reduce program, or have you had to reduce the program delivery from what we saw it in our program books or from what we're used to due to the cut in hours of the commissioner of personnel? And if so, how and what?
The hours in the position have not been altered to reflect the reduction in the salary completely.
Have you had to change program at all?
The answer is no. The work is still being done, and the programs are still being accomplished under this arrangement.
Thanks.
Any other questions? Go ahead.
Anita, the professional services line, is that where training monies lie?
No.
Where is that?
The training amount
196 in the big book.
The training amount is, I believe, in 1987. Mm-hmm. Is the $12,000 that you're referencing?
I don't. The professional training, the line I'm looking at is, yeah.
That's the $12,000 that was allocated. It's not being increased or decreased from, I believe, last year. And what we've done is Jeff has been developing with TC3 and other staff an online program through TC Biz. Instead of offering a formal class where we only have an opportunity to allow 20 county employees to come to a specific class, this is more tailored to the needs of the departments and individual employees who can elect a certain class, and that's what that $12,000 represents. That's what we used it for last year, and it was very, very well received. We fully anticipate that the full amount of that could be used again in that initiative. But certainly the training funds over a number of years have been dramatically reduced.
Okay. Martha?
I'm sorry, listen, you said 12,000 under professional services?
Yeah.
You,
go to target base
196. Oh, I'm 194.
It's the in-service piece.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
That's great.
Did you like that question?
Sunday, Craig.
Thank you. My favorite department, TAC. I mean it. I love this stuff.
Jim, sorry, are there more of these to leave on this? Yeah, no, they were.
Did you get one? Yeah, got one. Yeah. Thanks. What's that? Kevin, is there any correlation between this being the IT department and
Get
the screen going?
It's on.
Yeah, this isn't a county laptop.
Oh.
Oh. Kevin. Unapproved electronic device.
Kevin.
Just kidding.
Here, let me do it. Where's the slideshow
button? I've got
the slideshow.
Oh, can I speak to
are we ready for a liftoff here? Okay.
Ready? Okay.
3, 2, 1.
All right. It's a pleasure to present the 2011 ITS, or Information Technology Services, budget. I'm going to first just quickly give you an overview of the department and how we're organized and the way that we are configured within our programs and services or operations of the department. Currently, in 2010, there are three different overlapping sections of the department. In the upper left-hand corner, we have three positions that are involved in the support of applications, as well as the rollout and implementation of new applications and anything related to telephone service. There are probably over 40 unique applications crossing the various county departments that we are responsible for supporting and hosting on the Tompkins County network, and a great deal of effort there goes towards those efforts, as well as new initiatives, some of which include HR payroll, mental health records management, and a whole slew of them, which I'll talk about here shortly. In the upper right-hand corner is really the nuts and bolts of maintaining the hardware on our data network, and that is a network which is primarily fiber backbone-based now, and connects about 20 different locations in across county facilities. The bottom component of the slide shows the other program, which is the Geographic Information Systems program that is responsible also for tax mapping, the management of geographic data, and more recently the integration of all the addressing standards within the rollout of the upcoming CAD project. A little bit of it in the center is, of course, the director, myself, and my administrative assistant, who kind of act in the center to help facilitate all the activities and work across the department. In addition, there's a slight modification to this slide in the past year that's happened as a result of public safety projects, and so we've kind of added another circle to our environment there that I'll modify here in 2011 that deals specifically with the management of public safety records and the dispatch center and the activities that are currently going on through there and the law enforcement technology shared services group. So on to a quick overview. We have we've broken ITS down into seven kind of major service areas. The first one is pretty self-explanatory. It's really ITS administrative tasks as well as help desk support. So the administrative assistant in the department also acts as the primary help desk person and handles about 80% of what comes through the department before it reaches anybody else in the department. So we do budget, kind of project management, billing, work order procedures, and personnel, financial management, policy, stuff like that. Next one is network and PC support. Again, we have about
20 different locations in county government to which we are networked. We've got two primary data centers now, the one in my office in the Annex C building and the new one which has opened up in 55 Brown Road at the new Public Health Department. And in addition, we manage about 550 PCs and numerous edge devices across the entire county network. Telecommunications support is really the management of anything related to phone systems. We have in place a number of older PBXs or older phone switches, which are now over a decade in age. Hard to believe. It's one of the first projects I worked on as an IT director for the county prior to 2000. And those PBXs are now coming of nearing a replacement age. We started in that direction with the rollout of voice over IP technology as part of the health department project and have implemented that for about four county departments and have become quite familiar and comfortable with that technology as we move forward towards replacement. We also, by the way, do a great deal of work and efforts on managing the monthly distribution of costs for billing across those departments. That takes a great deal of work to coordinate and determine who owes exactly what on some of these phone bills because they get very complicated. Email, web, and internet services, everyone relies on these things these days. We do our best to keep up and keep pace with them. We are spending a great deal more time these days working on internet-based applications and deployment of services over the internet. It's and the advent of electronic government and where that's moving us in the future. So we are paying attention to that. A good example of that project, or one of those projects, is one that affected the legislature's office, and that is the rollout of the meeting management software and application and the distribution of that information electronically as opposed to printing on paper for the distribution of paper copies. Application planning, implementation, and support, another huge growth area for us. We spend a great deal more time these days working with departments, listening to them, understanding what their needs are, and trying to devise ways that are most effective towards their implementation of solutions on the IT side. There's a lot of work that goes towards the planning for these projects in advance of even budgeting or discussions of how to get there. So we spend a lot of time talking about process and what the efficiencies might be gained if we evaluate some changes in use of technology. Tax mapping and GIS, we talked a little bit about that before. The GIS program in the department does support the tax mapping efforts as a mandate in Tompkins County. Assessment Department and ITS are now working through a change in this program and are starting to shift the responsibility of tax mapping in its electronic format back to the Assessment Department, but that process may take a good year for training and moving in that direction, but we have started it and are starting training now of a single employee in the assessment department, and we'll bring on more of those additional training opportunities this year. In addition, we're doing a great deal of work in GIS now with the Emergency Response Department and the standardization and the management of a central repository of address information that's critical to that application amongst others in the county. The Law Enforcement Technology Shared Services project, you've all heard a great deal about that in the recent past year, so I won't go into a whole lot of that effort, although we have started the implementation of the new CAD project, and all equipment is in place and software was installed last week. If you were to look at the breakdown of the 2010 budget by those departments which I just presented, this is what it would look like. Bar scale is, and with the number of FTEs, this includes all salary fringes and any other cost for professional services contracts or equipment that are split into the categories for their corresponding uses. Yes.
So for example, I was looking at tax mapping. The cost appears to be about $125,000. So that's two FTEs plus whatever professional services contracts are in that.
Yeah, in that case, it's two FTEs And the other big cost of that program is software maintenance.
Okay.
If you look at the line items in the budget, you'll see very clearly that there is very little else in that budget.
So, but this is not specifically just the FTE cost?
No. We just wanted to kind of give you a general indication of what the FTEs associated with those projects are, because that is, as I'll show you here shortly, the 90% of our budget. Okay. 2011 breakdown in the same categories looks a little bit different. There will be a shift. Sorry for the scale shift. The bar is a little bit taller here. There will be a shift from kind of a couple of these categories, the last two on the right, application, planning support, and network PC, over to the LETS group, which is really now more than LETS. It's really coordination with the Department of Emergency Response and the rollout of the public safety software and application systems. So that is shifted from a halftime to one FTE to support that application through 2011, based on a current individual and position in the department. This is the view of 2011 IT expense categories. We start on the left-hand side with salaries. Move to the next bar of fringes. Equipment is down around $25,000. Supplies, I don't even know what that represents, but it's very small. And contractual is, up around $100,000. So that's all professional services, software contracts, and everything else we do, including all telephone and internet expenses. Highlights, just quickly in review for 2010, just to give you a sense of what we've completed in this past year. I'll quickly go through this. We completed the fiber optics data network and telephone service upgrade to all county facilities on the Finger Lakes Technology Group contract from last year. That has been completely finished. We were certainly, I think, in my opinion, very successful in the planning and implementation for all the IT requirements for the public health move. That went very smoothly, and we're very proud of that fact. The configuration, data conversion, and preliminary testing of the new HR payroll system has been completed, and we're about to start our second parallel run. But the numbers in comparison between the old payroll system and the new payroll system are extremely close, and we're very happy with that. And we spent today working with our Lawson representative on site to go through a couple more fine-tuning and details. Still don't have a final cutover date. The next one we're shooting for is the first of the year, which would give us a clean start for the data in the new system. RFP process and all the negotiations and installation of the CAD, new CAD RMS and mobile data solution. That was a very extensive project, and that is going smoothly. We are setting up for all the training right now up at Emergency Response Center. We've kind of commandeered all the conference rooms up there, and training starts this week with the end users. Software has been installed. The equipment is also in place. We also went through a great deal on the next slide, or the next point, modifying all the address information that we've been working on over the past year to correspond with the requirements of that project, and in conjunction with the municipalities and all of the users in both emergency response side of the project as well as general users out in the community. So that has been a big push, and we now have an address point for every address record in Tompkins County, and that each point has been correspondingly placed inside of its reference building. Other applications we're also working on and have been working on is a new mental health electronic document management system, or electronic records management system, for which we also wrote and received a grant for. The electronic document management system from the global perspective or enterprise system that we've been working in conjunction with the county clerk's office on, and the MinuteTrack or the meeting management software within the legislature's office. So those are some quick highlights from 2010. It was a very busy year for us. Future pressure points. Current workload and major IT projects will result in inability to accept in new initiatives. I think I say this every year, but I don't think I change. So, but this year we do see a reduction in our employees in the department, which we'll talk about in a second. So this is certainly the case, and we have so much going on right now with HR payroll and the new CAD system that we are most definitely exceeding our capacity. The limitations, we in the past have had money to fall back on and rely on professional services for assistance when we get stuck or can't figure out a solution. We have only $5,000 left in that line item, which would buy us a couple days of time probably from on the professional services side of things. So that is a big concern for us, but it was our only solution in presenting the budget. If we have any emergencies or failure of equipment, whether that's a switch, a server, whatever it might be, a telephone switch or anything related, we have no money for replacement. It would require an emergency meeting with Joe and figuring out where the money's going to come from to order equipment quickly. This is just a quick review and perspective of 2009, 2010, and 2011, and just a comparison of where we stand in fringe cost, direct cost, and local share per the formula. So staying as flat as we can in 2011 as proposed. The way in which we've managed to meet the fiscal target requirements included a reduction of $64,130 from the department based on the formula that was submitted. The only option we had to do that was to reduce the department in the future by one FTE and further reduce networking, computer equipment, travel and training, and professional services line items. And that is indeed what has been submitted. However, we also have two OTRs, which are critical, which really balance out to about that amount coincidentally. I'm not trying to hide anything here. The first one is the need to cover the expenses for the HR payroll software. At the end of this year, we will be at the end of our implementation contract with Lawson, and the software maintenance kicks in January 1st of 2011. That was presented during the course of the project when we were discussing it and approving the funding for it as well. The second one is the new telephone system, which has been installed for the health department, the district attorney's office, the county clerk's office, and ITS, meaning it's a voice over IP phone system, also has a software component to that for the management of the system, and the operational or the maintenance costs for that software are $12,550, again, kicking in next year. If OTRs are not approved, the only option I see is further reduction of an additional FTE in 2011. We have to move forward with HR payroll and pay maintenance and support to keep the project moving forward. We have to pay for software support for the new voice over IP system. The only other option is Joe works some magic in the numbers to try and figure out how to move from a centralized approach to paying these costs out of the IT budget to a decentralized across the entire county. Certainly the two projects that we're talking about here in the OTR, the first one is a benefit to all departments and all employees in the county. The second one at this point is only to those specific departments listed there for the Voice of IP project, but eventually it is the standard by which we will be using and the system which we hope to use to replace outdated phone systems down the road when it becomes a requirement and the PBXs are no longer supported, and that it will be very soon.
I'm done. Hold on. Are you ready for questions?
I am finished, yes.
Okay. Peter, Martha, Carol, Mike.
A couple of questions. I don't quite see how the Lawson thing could be an OTR request. That's required maintenance on the system, if I understood you right.
That is correct. But it has never. This is the first time that we will need to budget for that expense.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I would have thought that OTR is something that you you could live with if it isn't granted. And I don't see how you could live with that kind of thing if it isn't granted.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, we agree. These two basically maintenance agreements kind of came in late in the process with no department really taking ownership over these costs. So we have to adjust our target spending. We agree.
All right. Okay.
It's an obligation, and that's why we've recommended funding for it. We just needed to figure out where to put this, and we believe the best place is in IT.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're absolutely correct. It's during the conversation, how distribute those costs or do it, the decision between Joe and I agree 100%, is that it should be under IT, because otherwise we get into these annual debates over, you know, trying to coordinate with the departments to increase their cost to cover the expenses for really what shouldn't be an OTR. It should be a...
Okay, another question. It strikes... I have some familiarity with the IT business, but not with yours, but I would be very nervous about giving up my employees' education or staying current with changes in IT technology. That would strike me as a very dangerous cut to make. I don't know how I can make a question out of that. But
well,
I
can tell you from experience, we as IT professionals, we tend to learn more through implementation. And the courses that one would attend in the IT field, although they can be of some value, it's hard to put to practice sometimes. So
okay.
We tried to roll in our education through the implementation of projects as opposed to through class-based training.
Okay, and the third question I have was this, a statement that you made in the midst of your presentation, that if you have a server break or something like that, then you don't have any money to get a new one, and we have to. So. This is a question, I guess, to Joe. Is what do we that must happen all over the place, that there that everybody needs a contingency fund, or do we have a general contingency fund which is large enough to do the equivalent of a breaking server or a breaking truck or something or other, which certainly happens.
Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, we have a contingency fund. It has in the past been adequate to cover these things. As departments get leaner within their own line items, though, and we need to rely on the county's contingency fund to cover these, that really gets put more to the test every year. So at this point, I think it is adequate to cover some degree of things like a broken server, but we're going to start pushing that to the limit pretty soon.
And we have had an extraordinarily good fortune in that we haven't had major technological problems. Where the contingent fund comes in is when a cooling tower fails, and something, it's more facilities related rather than IT. Our luck could change, but.
Yeah, I can tell you that we've done a very good job at trying to replace and keep the maintenance schedules up to date, but I can't. My biggest concern is really more on the older phone switches at this point in time, and on the technology side. The only other concern I have in terms of contingency in the request to do that is often the request for use of contingency funds can take a great deal of time. So there has to be some emergency clause in how I would approach the replacement of something like that on an emergency basis, which I'm sure I could talk to Joe after this meeting and figure out a way to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mark.
Thank you. To follow up on that question, do you have a sense of, on an annual basis, how much do we usually spend on that kind of equipment? I mean, if this is the first year where you feel like that you really have nothing, how much do you have a typical expenditure or average?
I would probably guess in terms of emergency replacement, whether it's switching gear or servers, it could be $8,000 to $10,000. It's just a rough estimate. I don't have any facts to back that up, and we really have not had any server failures, and we're moving towards a new way to manage servers on our network that would give us a lot more flexibility instead of replacing equipment, just pulling up the same application on another server. So things are changing. So it's hard to predict that now.
Okay, and if you'll allow me a couple questions. On your pages where you had the breakdown of major services and you had the seven functions in 2010 and 2011 compared, you had, like, Let's went from 0.5 FTE to 1, mm-hmm. and then two other functions went down.
Correct.
So that's just you're moving people around depending upon what the projects are for the coming year. Is that the idea?
That's correct. So we've reduced the entire – we've gone from 10 FTEs in ITS to 9 in 2011, and then are redistributing those 9 people across those areas, yes.
Is that a layoff?
We've recently had somebody in the department announce that they're leaving, or they already have left, so I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do about that particular position yet. It's an internal decision I've made yet. So the resignation has kind of changed my approach. Which option I take, I haven't really decided whether it'll be a result in a layoff or not.
Okay. And the fact that the CAD system is already installed and you're training on it, you were hoping to get this done by the end of the year, right?
That's correct. We're hoping to be live on the first.
I mean, that sounds like lightning speed, right?
It is.
That's great.
But our support for the existing software expires at the end of the year, so we're trying to meet that deadline.
All right. Well, it's terrific. And just finally, on the phone system going to voice over internet, is the quality good? I'm looking at Will because he used to have one of those phones and it was terrible.
You have to be careful on how you define this.
Okay.
It's really when you don't. It's really internet protocol, which is internally on our network. Our voice traffic is kind of over our data network now for these locations that we've gone live with. So it's not internet outside of the county government or out of our network. It's just internal through our data network. It's just a term of voice over IP. So be careful about when you think about what voice over IP is from a home version to what it is in the business sector. The quality of the system that we've put in place between those four departments is incredibly good. It's fantastic. It's like having the person sitting next to you. And the quality has been great. The service has been fantastic. We've been extremely pleased with the system.
That's good. And then does that mean we don't pay the phone company?
In between county buildings, that's correct. All internal phone calls have no charge.
Well, that's cool. All right. Thank you very much.
Carol.
Yeah. You talk in this slide about, if you had to further reduce staffing to cover the OTRs, that you would do so. Back on that slide that Martha was referring to, the compare the seven program areas, can you tell us which of those program areas would be affected?
I would probably have to dig into the GIS program. That would be my first place.
And then
that would impact assessment in turn.
And how would that intersect with?
Because I would have to lay off an individual who is responsible primarily for tax mapping work.
Okay, and how would that I don't know if you were here when we were hearing the presentation from assessment, but how would that then intersect with their proposed method of dealing with cuts, which would increase the reliance on computer modeling systems rather than visits to properties?
They wouldn't have. Well, I wasn't here for the presentation. I can't answer that directly. I can tell you that we are in the process of transferring the responsibility of the digital tax mapping from the GIS group over to Jay's operation in the assessment department. But that transition is going to take at least a year to cover. So part of what they're trying to do to reach their analysis work is going to be based on what happens in tax mapping and the update of that information. So if that doesn't happen, then they won't meet their state requirements for tax mapping, and they may not be able to do their assessments as well, if I'm following this correctly.
But is any piece of what they were talking about doing in this part of your budget, the tax mapping?
Currently, yes. We support all of the digital information for tax mapping.
Somebody who was here for both presentations answer the question?
Yeah, I think Jay said it. There's a period of transition that will occur in 2011 as they assume more of the responsibility for their own tax mapping and Greg assumes less. And that's the way these budgets have been structured. If you pull the plug on GIS, that would leave the assessment operation very much in the lurch. They wouldn't then have access to train people who can then carry on that core part of assessment, which is maintaining those tax maps.
Mike.
Thank you.
I don't know whether to address this to Greg or Joe or both of you, but where is the funding or the support going to be located for the census effort next year, including the redistricting? Is that going to be, Greg just told us he doesn't want anything extra. Is it going to be with planning? Greg's department helped us before 10 years ago. Do we have money set aside somewhere to help with that?
There is not a special pot of money set aside for that, no. The effort would have to be in tandem between planning and IT, but in terms of a special allocation for that, no, there's no extra money for that.
Then, Greg, are you able to assist in that? Is your department going to have the available personnel to help us if we have a major problem like we did 10 years ago with a miscount or misplacement of people like happened back then, putting all the students on one block in the city?
I think I'll be taking another long vacation if that happens. I can't answer. You know, there's a bigger question, Mike, and I don't want to get into the details. Certainly, we know enough about it, and I've certainly went through it to provide a lot of recommendations on how to best handle it in the future. The first question is, how is the project going to be organized, and who's going to participate in it, and who's going to lead the management of that effort? Because it does take a collective, or one person has to be really kind of managing and providing the leadership, I think, as it moves through the process. I serve that in 10 years ago, in kind of that role. I cannot do that again. But we can certainly be available to talk about how we could assist on the GIS and the mapping side and the presentation of that information. But the analysis and creation of the different scenarios is quite time-consuming. I'm hoping that we can talk with the planning department about a shared responsibility or looking at alternatives to the IT department doing that this year.
Sounds like we need to put this on pretty quick at GO and figure it out.
Frank.
Greg, is there, I was looking for your income lines or your revenue lines, and do you retain anything out of the archives money that you're so helpful in putting together?
No, that all, we purposefully require that if we assist in getting archives money, the money gets deposited into the account of the department for which we're doing the project. So it does not come through ITS. In mental health's case, it went directly to their fiscal.
So an inter-fund transfer is not in the offering, huh?
I've dealt with inter-fund transfers before and chargebacks, and they're much more complicated than they're worth in trying to manage. So I've actually, over the course of years, have tried to get away from that in my budget, and keep my budget as simple as possible, and let the departments manage the money for the projects.
And an indirect compliment, for those of you that are wondering how I became so proficient with email, it's due to Greg.
Should
that take a half an FTE or what?
Well, it's a whole FTE. What are you kidding me?
Martha?
Well, a direct compliment. At NYSAC 2 weeks ago, I was talking with a guy from Ontario County. Their chief
ITS person who just raved about you, Greg. So I agreed. If we were to try to respond to Mike's question about the census and the redistricting, could maybe you with Ed, maybe we should come up with a number of, and I'm not sure how to add staffing or time to take care of this, but if we have to put something extra in the contingent fund to deal with this, it's just a question out there. Maybe can we find a number?
I think it's a question more of prioritization. You know, you can throw money at this, but, you know, it's not – the people who have to do the work have to understand the data and understand the software. And you can find those within the departments of the county, and those, I think, are the best resources to move the project forward. I think the county just needs to look at the project and understand how it's going to be organized and then respond with what it might take from the staff level to get that finished, and then – who is the best person to fill that
requirement. Do you think there's any other software you might need to buy?
I would not worry about the software side of that project. It's if we do, it's going to be very small in comparison to the time and effort that would go into the project. We have plenty of software to handle the project as it stands now. Now, there may be some very nice, flashy software out there that you push a button and it runs all these calculations, but we did it 10 years ago with what we had in place then, and I think that went very smoothly. So we could easily replicate that with the more modern versions of the same software that we have now.
And Brian.
Greg, you said if your OTR is not granted, you're going to have to take FTE. I must be around for a while because I'm starting to get all these little acronyms for all this stuff. But you would take an FTE from GIS? Yeah, there you go.
Well,
thank you.
Well, Joe and I would have to have this conversation. This gets a little bit tricky because really what we're talking about is an OTR that benefits for both of these items that benefit the entire county. Mm-hmm. So is it fair that my department should suffer as a result if these aren't approved?
Well, that's kind of the end of my question, because you're transitioning over tax mapping GIS function to assessment. I'm gonna take a guess that the new CAD system is gonna have a GIS component to it, and getting that up and running. So and now we've got redistricting, which is gonna be a lot. So I'm not sure that we're gonna be able to.
Yeah, the back end of the CAD stuff is all driven by GIS and address information within the GIS system. We've supported GIS and mapping for the existing system, but the Spillman software takes it to a completely different level, and it's a good one. Mm-hmm. But definitely, it requires a lot more GIS.
So that potential FTE is a very critical person in 2011, I would think.
Yes.
Joe, go ahead.
I've held off on editorial. I try not to do editorial comments, but I need to make one here, I think. Greg has an FTE count of 9 people. I left a county that has a population of 4 times ours and an IT staff of 80 people. And the amount of work that is generated by this department that is of high quality and serves the organization well is pretty remarkable. So I would encourage, I guess, a recognition of how much that small staff of 9 people does right now, and be a little cautious about changing it.
In your question,
I'll do the Peter Sutton, right?
Yeah, there's, if I can add on one more bit to Joe's comment there. There have, with the reduction of the FTE, I mean, there are a lot of discussions that happened before the ITS budget got submitted, obviously. And the reduction of an FTE in the IT really was based on a conversation that deals with the collaborative approach to sharing IT resources with a couple other departments in the county. So we're starting to kind of hash that out, and I don't want to talk about the details, but it's kind of predicated on that moving forward, and we have the department's permission and support to do so.
Last question. Go ahead.
I have 2 questions. One about contracts. We recently received a list of contracts by department, and there are figures for each department. ITS is in here for 3 years' worth of budgets. I look at your line item budget, and I can't make the numbers match. I don't want to get into that now, but I want to understand it.
Sure.
So I don't know whether to do that with Joe or you. If you could tell me which one to talk to that after this meeting, that would be fine.
It'd be myself and Karen Simpson. We'd be happy to go through the details. They're really between two different lines in the budget, professional services and service contracts.
Well, those are the two I was looking at, and they don't add up to the
Because we have a margin there for unknown professional services that sometimes we use for other items, such as helping with configuration of network equipment that aren't defined clearly.
The other question has to do with your organization into units.
Mm-hmm.
You have intersecting circles, which helps me understand how staff work in different circles there. But we also have a budget system that uses budgeting units. And I don't think there is a one-to-one correspondence in your list of units and what are budgeting units.
No.
So it would help me to see that on paper, how they actually, where they fit. You don't have to do that now, but that's a request.
That's a good question across the county. Those units are really kind of conceptual structure of my department of how we provide services. They have nothing to do with the chart of accounts within the financial system and county government.
Well,
but in the future, they could.
I wish they did.
I know, so do I. Yes, I agree.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Greg. We are finished with Adya. Thank you. All right, we are going to go to Human Service Coalition, then we'll do a break.
Really?
Really.
Yeah.
Going
to Coalition and then break. No break.
All right, 5 minutes. 5 minutes.